Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to imagine this morning that you are a ruler of a nation. You own your own country. You are king, you are queen, you are head honcho, you're King Tut, whatever you want to call it. You own the nation, you call the shots. Your nation is the greatest nation to ever be in existence, and the goal is to make the whole world yours. How do you go about conquering it? Anybody? By force, right? You build an army, maybe you build some bombs, and then you go across the whole world conquering it by force, right? And you force them to be part of your nation. You force them to comply with your rules. You force them to comply with everything in your nation, right? At least that's what we've seen over the course of history. That's how rulers and nations try to expand, isn't it? They conquer territories and make them their own and enforce their rules, enforce their culture, enforce everything on other people. But is that how God's kingdom spreads? I see everyone shaking their heads no. But that's not always the case. This hasn't always been the belief across over the centuries. The Jewish people, when Jesus was alive, they were expecting a Messiah to come, to sit on his throne in Jerusalem, and then to conquer all the nations, starting with the Romans. Kick those evil Romans out, and then spread the Jewish religion and the Israelites' kingdom to the ends of the earth. Even Jesus' disciples thought this. If you turn to Acts chapter 1, Jesus is getting ready to ascend up to heaven. And what does his disciples say? Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you bringing our glory days back where we're going to have a king and we're going to rule? And for the disciples, it was a selfish thing, right? Because they were Jesus' closest friends. They were going to get power. They were going to be able to rule over people. And Jesus says, no, no, no. That's not happening right now. That's not happening right now. And it's not for you to know when that's going to happen. And yet, that didn't stop people from thinking this is how Christianity spreads. You look over the course of history, and what do you see? You see rulers saying, our nation is going to be a Christian nation, and you have to be Christian. No other religion is tolerated here. You see the Crusades, which were holy wars. Christianity versus Muslim, as Christians tried to make Muslims Christian by force. And you even have people today living in America that think that Christianity is going to spread how? If there's a Christian president in the White House, then Christianity is going to spread. And yet, what we see today is that this is not how God's kingdom spreads. It doesn't spread by force. That's not how it spread. And so today we're going to look at how it does get spread. And to do so, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus tells us a story that he calls a parable. If you remember, a parable we define as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus takes earthly concepts that we can wrap our minds around, we know it, we relate to it, and he says, now let me teach you a heavenly meaning with it. And so today, Jesus is going to do that for us in Matthew chapter 13. We begin with verse 1. Help if I turn this on. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. So that same day, this was actually a very busy day for Jesus and a mentally exhausting day for Jesus. He had a debate earlier in the day with the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, because they said to Jesus, you're from Beelzebub. In other words, they said, you're from Satan. You're from the devil, hell itself. And Jesus said, no, I'm not. Look at how I'm fulfilling your word that you claim to love so much, which is his word, God's word. He says, look, I'm fulfilling this. This is me. And then later on, he was teaching in a house that was so full that Jesus' own mother and his own brothers couldn't come and even talk to him. But Jesus eventually comes out of the house, and Jesus' own mother, Mary, and his brothers said, Jesus, you're crazy. Let's get you out of here. You're saying things that you don't mean. Because Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. And he says, look, no, I am the Messiah. And the crowds ate this up. And they followed Jesus. Jesus goes off to the lake. He's trying to get some peace and quiet. And the crowds just follow him. And now it's evening. And there's this big group of people. So big that Jesus can't just stand on the shore and talk. And so he gets in a boat, pushes off just a little bit, while everyone stands on the shore, and he preaches and teaches from this shoreline so that more people can hear. And here's what he tells them. He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. Kind of like this side of I-35, right? It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Here's a story Jesus tells. And for the Jewish people living up in northern Galilee, by Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee, they understood this because they were farmers. They understood, yeah, hey, you scatter seed sometime and it falls on a hard path and it doesn't grow. You throw it on rocky soil and for a while it will grow, but it doesn't really have very deep roots, and so the sun's just going to scorch that thing. Other seed falls along among the weeds and the thorns, and that crop just gets choked out. And finally, some actually falls on good soil and produces the crop that you want. Now remember, this is a parable. And so what's the heavenly meaning? A lot of times, Jesus doesn't tell us what the meaning is. He lets us kind of connect the dots. But with this one, he tells us what the meaning is. So let's go ahead and jump into the meaning. It's a few verses later in verse 18. Jesus says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So Jesus said that first soil, the hard path, is like someone who hears God's word but has a hard heart, doesn't understand it, doesn't want to believe in Jesus, doesn't believe God's word, and so it just sits there. God's word just sits on their heart, and Satan comes and just snatches it away. That's the first one. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is someone who hears about Jesus, loves Jesus, all excited about Jesus, but then verbal persecution comes. That's how it is in America anyways, because we don't get actual persecuted for our faith. But verbal attack. People say things about you. People say things about Jesus. They push against you. They make comments about you. And then you just give up your faith, because there's no roots. The third one, the seed falling among the thorns, refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is somebody who hears the word, it plants, it has roots, but there's worries in life and the deceitfulness of wealth, those weeds grow. And those weeds, their roots grow deep and thick, and start to choke out faith's roots. Notice, this one doesn't say that it burns up the plant altogether. It just says it makes it unfruitful. The faith is still there. It just makes it unfruitful. And then finally, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Think of this scene. Jesus is in the boat, talking to all kinds of people, and he knows what each heart is. He knows people who are listening to them, some have a hard heart, and they're just there to try to get him to find some flaw in him. He knows that some have a rocky heart, a heart that they're going to leave that shoreline all pumped, ready to go for Jesus, and then they're going to get into town and someone's going to say something negative against Jesus and they're going to give up their faith. He knows that some have faith, but they also have a lot of worries in life. And he knows that a select few are going to have a good soiled heart. A heart that's ready to hear the word, believe the word, and believe that Jesus is their Savior. And so why is he there preaching? Why doesn't he just take those good soil ones off to the side and said, hey, let me preach God's word to you? Because this is how God's kingdom is spread. This is how God's kingdom grows. It's by spreading the gospel seed. It's by spreading the word of God. And that's your first point this morning. The kingdom of God grows by spreading gospel seeds. The kingdom of God grows by spreading gospel seeds. God's kingdom is unlike any other kingdom on earth, isn't it? Just about every other kingdom goes in and takes people by force and then say, come in by force, we're going to force you in, and then over time, we're going to hope that you love it here. God says, no, I'm going to do just the opposite. I'm going to work from the inside out. I don't want to force you to be part of my kingdom. I'm going to work in from your heart out to your actions. And how does that happen? By scattering the seed of God's word onto people's hearts. And when that word falls on our hearts, it completely changes from the inside out as we become part of God's kingdom, as faith grows and trust in Jesus as our Savior grows. Now here's the crazy part. This seed that gets scattered seems so small and inconsequential, doesn't it? Telling somebody, hey, Jesus loves you, that doesn't seem very big. It doesn't seem very life-changing. Telling someone, hey, you know what, I have peace because I know that that my relationship with God is good because of Jesus, that doesn't seem like a big deal. It seems very small in the grand scheme of things. And yet, it's this word that has power. And that's your second point today that we can learn. Gospel seeds are small, but powerful. They're small, but powerful. And just to see how powerful it is, let's consider our own life. At one point in our life, we were all that hard path, right? We rejected God's word. We didn't believe God's word. We didn't care about God's word. But someone continued to scatter the seed of the gospel onto our hearts. And God went to work on our hearts, tilling it, working on it. And eventually one of those gospel seeds planted. And it took root. And it started to grow and grow. And pretty soon, faith in Jesus as your Savior was grown in full. You were completely changed from the inside out. Me too. All because of a little tiny gospel seed that was scattered in your heart and took root. This is the power of this small little seed. And that's why you're here today. That's why I'm here today. Because we love Jesus now. We love Jesus. And it all came from the small little words of Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you. And it took root. And faith was grown. We sit here in church this morning with faith planted in our hearts. And yet, I wonder which soil you relate to most. 1, 2, or 3, or 4. Faith is in our hearts. It's grown. It's taken root. And faith has grown. And yet, do we always feel like that good soil? I think if I'm honest with myself, and I think if you're honest, a lot of times we fall into soil number 3, right? Where the worries of life start creeping up. They take root in our hearts and grow. And so we're in God's kingdom, but boy, we sure have a lot of worries, worry weeds in our heart as it grows. You see, soil number three is a type where we know what God's word says, and yet worry weeds still grow. For instance, we know that God's word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and yet you stand in front of the mirror and you see all of your flaws. You're disgusted by what you see. You're worried about what other people are going to think about you when you go out into public. You see, soil number three says, I know what God's word says. He says, I'm his dearly loved child. The God of this world says, you are mine. You are my child. You are my heir. You are my son. You are my daughter. And yet we go to work every day worried about having to prove that we are somebody. As if God saying, you're my child, isn't enough for us. Soil number three is one that says, I know what the gospel says, that I'm forgiven, and yet I'm holding grudges. Soil number three says, I know what God's word says, that heaven is more pleasurable than anything that this world could ever give me. And God actually says that I get a foretaste of heaven here on earth when I'm in his word, at church, when I'm receiving the Lord's Supper. I get a foretaste of all this. And yet, some of us go places and click on things and do things to satisfy our pleasure fantasies here on earth, as if God's word isn't enough. Worry weeds are when we know what God's word says. When we know that it says that we have a Father in heaven, God himself, who says, I know your needs, and I'm going to take care of them. The God of this world, who spoke everything into existence, says, I'm going to take care of every single one of your needs. And yet we live day to day as if we don't have anybody taking care of us. This is soil number three. And if we're honest, a lot of times this is how we live, and we let those weeds kind of just dwell in there. And so how do we get rid of them? How do we move from soil number two or soil number three to soil number four, where our faith isn't choked, but it produces fruits? It's by scattering the seed of God's word on our hearts again, right? Taking that word and planting it on our hearts. Not in our heads, but in our hearts. You see, a lot of times we take God's word, those promises, and we scatter them on our heads, and we know what those promises are. We know what God says to us, but it's kind of like it stays on top of the dandelions, and it doesn't get down to the roots of the dandelions to completely get rid of them. And so what do we have to do? Spread those gospel seeds, because those gospel seeds have power. In fact, Paul says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. I love this verse because the Greek word for power is dynamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. God says, my word is powerful. It is powerful. And when that word is scattered onto our hearts and we meditate on it and apply it to ourselves, it will get rid of all of those weeds. And so in every situation, we look in the mirror and we say, God, you promise I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And how does that apply to me in this situation as I look and I see all my flaws? God, you say I'm your child. I don't need to prove myself. How does that apply to this situation where I'm trying to prove myself? God, you say I don't have to worry. You're my Father in heaven taking care of all my needs. How does that apply to me in this situation? That takes it from here, head knowledge, to down into the roots. And when we do that, God will rip up those weeds, rip up those worries, and instead will replace it with the fruit of the Spirit. You see, as those weeds get ripped out, what are we left with? We're left with peace. Peace knowing that we have the God of the world on our side. And so as life seems to be falling apart, as health is deteriorating, we go to God's promises and we know that he is on our side, taking care of us. Those weeds get ripped out and we're not left with guilt. But we're filled with joy. Joy knowing that our sins are forgiven. Just like we talked about last week. Sins are forgiven and heaven is ours. Those weeds get ripped out. And we're left with assurance and confidence. Knowing that death isn't our end, but heaven is ours. It's just the door to eternal life. Weeds get ripped out. Weeds get ripped out. That's okay. Weeds get ripped out. The worry weeds get ripped out, and what are we left with? We're left with an identity. An identity that God says, you are my child. You are mine. You don't have to work to prove yourself. You are my child. We're left with hope. Hope, no matter what is going on, we know that the God of this world says, I love you, I'm caring for you, I am with you. This is what is replaced in our hearts when those weeds get ripped out. When we take God's word, scatter them, not on our heads, but down into the roots of our hearts. And we meditate on it. And we think about, how does this apply to me? It also leaves you with one other thing. Not just an identity, not just with assurance and confidence, not just with joy, but it leaves us with purpose in life, doesn't it? God has brought you into this kingdom. This kingdom where you have peace, where you have joy, where you have hope, where you have an identity. You have all this. You know that your sins are forgiven and that you have a good relationship with God. This is what He's brought to you. And now He says, go. Spread this. Scatter this seed so that other people have what you have. And so that's what we do. And that's what we've been doing for the entire year. We've been scattering gospel seeds and watching as they grow. But as we go, I want you to have comfort. Because a lot of times what we do is we go and we put too much pressure on ourselves, don't we? We go and we tell people about Jesus and we scatter these seeds and we make it too much about ourselves. And so we have to realize what our role is. And this is your last point today. We are called to sow the seed, not to grow the seed. We are called to sow the seed, not to grow the seed. When we were kids, my brother and I, we loved going to my grandparents' house because they had a big backyard. So a huge yard to play wiffle ball in. It was great. Plus, my grandpa had a swing set back there, so we'd get on the swing and he'd push us, and it was great. They also had a garden in the back, in the back corner. And every spring, we'd go over there, And the garden would be completely dry. There was nothing, just dirt. My grandpa would plant seeds, and then we'd come back halfway through the summer, and crops would be popping up. Cucumbers, tomatoes, rhubarb, all kinds of plants just shooting up. And we'd say, wow, Grandpa, how'd you make this happen? His answer? I didn't. I just planted the seeds, and it grew. The same thing is true when we sow gospel seeds. We can't make it grow. We simply sow. We scatter the seed. God is the one who makes it grow. And that's important to remember as we go, because otherwise we'll start making it all about us and we'll think, I need to say it exactly right. I need to have a logical reasoning for this. I need to make sure that I have a good reason why they should believe. No, God says, that don't worry about that. Just tell them that Jesus loves them and that they're good with God. Spread the seed, and God says, I'll take care of the rest. And as we spread that seed, do so with patience. When we'd go out to my grandparents' garden, my brother and I think every kid is like this. They're pretty impatient. And so we'd go there at the springtime, we'd see Grandpa plant the seeds, and the next week we'd come back and say, Grandpa, there's nothing going on here. We can't see anything. And yet, as we're patient, over the course of the summer, crops grew up. And that's a good lesson for us as we sow seed. We've planted over 120 seeds this year, gospel seeds. Some of them have grown. Some of them haven't, that we know of. We don't know how God is growing them, but we patiently scatter that gospel seed because God says, this is how my kingdom grows. It's by scattering the seeds of the gospel. And so be patient. Be reckless. Scatter that seed to everybody. And watch as God grows His kingdom, just like He's grown it in your heart. May the God of peace be with you always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for scattering the word, the seed of Your word onto our hearts and working faith in Jesus as our Savior. We thank You that Your word uproots all of the worries of life and all of the weeds that try to choke out our heart. Continue to spread Your word onto our own hearts that our roots grow deeper and deeper in You so that no matter what comes in life, our faith stands strong. We ask as we go out into the world and scatter the seed of Your word that You bless it as You see fit. Let Your word accomplish the desire for which You sent it and grow faith in other people's hearts. In Your name we pray. Amen.